scump prasa.
That's our intro. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cock in between. My name is Raz.
And I'm Jody.
This is the first annual Broscas, or the Bracademy Awards.
Yes.
As we would say. And it's actually two award shows on one night.
It's a two-for-one special.
Never mind the sunshine.
This is special effects. Yeah. This is a green screen.
It's all smoking with us. it's two award shows. It's also the Brazies.
Brazies.
The Brazies.
Yeah, where we rank
bras. It's not tiny bras, no. No, it's it'll be our worst picks for the year and our favorite picks for the year.
You and I are loath to do, like, we loath to judge, you know? I mean, we even, our movie rating system is not even about, like, how shit your movie is.
Yeah, it's not.
But some of them needed to be called out.
Look, there's a few, not only movies, but performances as well. So we will get into it. We also have some of the best and worst picks from the Brasa.
Yes.
Which is quite eye-opening and actually made me think maybe we should lose some fans.
There were some shocking choices. Not gonna lie. There were some very shocking choices.
If it's one thing we don't do, it's lie, Jody.
Yes.
And we tell the truth. And that's what we plan to do.
Also, Ross, you and I are all about gender neutrality. Mm-hmm. We don't give a fuck about best male, best female. Mm-mm. So all our awards are gender neutral.
That's right. Because actor can cover both of them, right?
Yes, actor does actually cover
both of them. Yeah, it does. We just keep it to the movie and the performance and the quality of the work.
That's the way.
Or sometimes lack thereof.
Exactly.
I don't know about you, but I want to get into it.
I really do.
And the first category for this evening, I say evening, it's not.
It's the closer. This is evening.
I feel like I'm in a dinner or something where people eat duck.
Yeah.
Worst performance of the year.
Yo, we're getting right into it. Right?
Listen, we're going to start. You planned it this way, and I think it's the best way. You start off bad, we end off good.
We build up to the positive.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think this year was hard enough, so we want to leave people on a good note. Worst performance. So you're going to run through your picks.
Yes.
And then I'll run through my picks.
Yes.
And then you'll pick your one and I'll pick my one.
I like it.
Okay.
Russ.
Jody.
Unfortunately, quite a few options.
Yeah, there was. It was tough to narrow it down, I must say.
It was rough.
Yeah.
It was rough. I think I managed to do a fairly good job of it.
Okay.
I've got my first one. Mm. And this is not hating. We do a lot of DC-related news, you and I. They do a lot of news.
Yeah, look, there's a lot happening there at the company.
This is not DC related.
Okay, sure.
But it is Gal Gadot. Yo, that ensemble film, Death on the Nile, she was somewhat of a lead in that movie. She was
somewhat.
Somewhat of a lead. In ensemble films, it's tough to choose like one person.
No, definitely.
But you know, she was someone we were supposed to be rooting for.
Yeah.
Someone we should be interested in that we care about.
Well, look, everyone's a suspect.
Yes.
And then I think she went in a different direction.
Yes, the untalented one. And for that reason, Russ, she is my first nominee for worst performance of the year.
Yeah, they're valid, solid.
I also decided to go with both Nicolas Cage and Pedro Pascal, for The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
I can't believe you didn't enjoy that movie.
The two of them, I felt, were completely wasted in there. I don't know what tone they were going for. Nicolas Cage playing Nicolas Cage should be a home run any day of the week.
Yeah, that's not necessarily their fault, though.
That's not necessarily their fault, but the performances were super lackluster.
Yeah, gotcha.
Both of them have made it. My final nominee.
Okay.
The entire cast of The Bubble. The entire cast. Okay. I'm not going to pick out names there. The entire cast.
Does that include cameos?
Cameos. I feel in some cases the cameos were worse than the actual leads.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go with everyone.
Okay.
Resounding everyone involved with The Bubble.
Okay.
If your fingertip touched it, you nominate it.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a few more. I will agree. Gal Gadot. Mm-hmm. More like Gal Gadot.
Gadot.
Gal Gadot in Death of the Nile, it was not great. And you know there's people that debate, oh, but she was a great Wonder Woman. Oh, but she did this. And it's like, yeah, but you can see when it's just her that has to show up.
Yeah.
She can't.
Also, it's this thing where if you adapt an entire, like in Wonder Woman, where an entire tribe was adapted to her accent because she can't change her accent.
Oh, you'll never let that go, eh?
It's a bit of an issue. It's a bit of an issue.
Yeah, a tribe in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Next is Kevin Hart for not one, but two films.
Oh, I can't believe I forgot.
Me Time and The Man from Toronto.
Shame, Netflix and Kevin Hart.
Do you know why it's both films? Because he does the same thing in both films.
Yeah. Can't dispute it.
Horrible. I'm tired of it.
I think I purged those movies from my mind.
I'm bored of Kevin Hart.
I legit purged them from my mind.
Yeah, I'm glad. I wish I could. Next is DJ The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, Dwayne!
From Black Adam. There was just a performance of a person who loved a character but didn't understand it.
At all.
Yeah. So he thought, okay, I'm like charismatic and I do my thing. I do the Rock thing. Mm. Let me do not that.
Let me do a Rock. not The Rock.
That's what he did.
Dude.
And he's on my list.
You sent me a lovely little TikTok where somebody stated that. Can we all just agree that Tyrese was right?
Listen, I was guilty of that as well. I'll be the first to admit it. I was like, ugh, these guys, they just don't like that. But that was when, you know, we didn't have all the information.
And now we have more.
Context is key, Jody.
Context is king.
And what we've discovered is that Tyrese was right.
He was right.
I refuse to support Vin Diesel, but I'll support Tyrese.
Yes.
Next on my list is Chris Pratt in Jurassic World Dominion.
Oh, another purge from the memory.
Dude, all he did was, not necessarily his fault, but I'm tired of it too.
But also, that was such a charismatic character in the first one, eh? In the trilogy.
Yes, it was. But I mean, the first one was the best of the series.
By far.
And then I think they just didn't know what they were doing after that.
I think I keep forgetting I watched that movie this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone asked us about reviewing it. And we were like, no.
That stands, by the way. We're not going to do it. Next, The Bubble.
Yes.
But just Pedro Pascal.
Just Pedro.
I feel like the amount of talent that we both know he has, right? To what the
from there.
What
to
the hell he did in that film.
Yeah.
Also, maybe
you say you draw the line at fucking hologram.
Yeah, I mean, it may not be his fault entirely. Mm. Obviously, Chad Apatow is to blame.
Yeah,
but
shame. That's another one. If we had worst director,
Okay, final one is Jared Leto in Morbius.
Oh, of course,
I finally watched it.
Oh,
yeah,
you found time.
I found time, but it was to
get your Morb on.
It was while I was it was Morbin time. It was Morbin time for me. It was while the last days of work. I put it on the background. And what is Sony doing?
Man? I haven't seen it.
It's not good. It's not good. And because he is the main star of that film, he goes down as one of the worst performances.
Sup, Jay?
Sup, Jay? Jay's in the house. He's curious. Look at him.
Yeah.
He's like, what's daddy doing? Why is daddy wearing a jacket
daddy's
and a shirt?
Daddy's making money.
And shorts.
Don't give the magic away.
I'm also wearing shorts. Anyway, okay, let's go.
I'm so jealous of your nominations.
Why? I put on more.
I forgot about Kevin Hart. I forgot about Trent. I'm still happy.
Remember, there's no rules yet.
I know. I'm still happy with what I put out there.
Okay.
And I know I nominated the entire cast of The Bubble, but it's got to be David Duchovny for me.
Wow.
David Duchovny is... I don't know what he's doing.
Mm.
He behaved like someone who's actually successful right now when we know he's not. He's got nothing going on in life.
I know.
This vehicle.
That's very harsh.
This movie
could have
been like a comeback of sorts for him. Right? Like a jump into. It's an ensemble cast. It's him with some big names.
Yeah.
I have no idea what he was doing.
Yeah.
In a film full of shit, he stood out as king shit to me, Ross.
Yeah. No, I get it. Yo, and he's had some great work.
He's done
past.
Some fantastic things.
Okay, solid. Yeah, I get it. Yo, he was disappointed. That whole film.
Everyone in that movie was, but he somehow stood out for me.
God awful. Okay. Okay, I'm going to make my decision.
You've got a lot of choices.
Right now. even though Gal Gadot is at the top, I'm going to say Kevin Hart because it's two films, man. It's two films. It's two films, man. He does with two. No, man. Yo, nice. And like me time, I can't even remember what happened in the film.
It was him and Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. Doing things.
Yeah. They took a dassy draw cuck on the
beach. Yeah, man from Toronto again. Kevin Hart and Woody Harrelson just doing things. Yeah. I'm tired of this. And he gets my vote because I want him to stop or pivot or something. Do something.
I just think he needs to stop for now.
Yeah.
If you have saturated the market, pivoting's not a good
hustling option. Is one thing. Just but like
you've hustled
too much. Yeah, it's like DJ. Him and DJ have the same problem.
Same energy, bro.
Same energy. But I mean Gal Gadot was just there.
Because a razor thumb.
Because that line delivery. Oh my god. Anyway. This is what the crowd thinks of our picks are there. And we agree with you, crowd audience.
We agree.
In
we
the
agree.
Year tonight. The audience.
Going wild.
Our next next category is Best Supporting Actor in 2022.
I love it.
Thank you.
Yo, you should do voiceover work.
I should, but I won't.
No.
Although it's a good gig.
It is.
It's like 5 minutes of work and you get like thousands of rands.
If you do a good job.
Yeah, I mean.
If your voice is, if you don't know what you're doing.
Yo, this is, we're in a different area, Owens. I don't know. There's like cars.
Multi-locale brassa.
Yeah, that's why. We all over CT, baby. In your hearts and in your area.
North and south.
Okay, Best Supporting Actor, Jody. Who are your nominees?
There were some very, very strong performances this year.
Supporting performances.
Supporting performances.
Scene stealers, we like to call them.
Very much so. And I'm going to start off with probably the one that's getting the most Oscar buzz right now. Angela Bassett for Wakanda Forever. She literally stole the show in that film. If not for her, the entire emotional arc of that movie was just going to fall flat. More than anything, she embodied all of our feelings about doing this movie without Chadwick.
Yeah.
Her speeches, the performance, everything about it was just amazing.
She's so hot.
She don't crack, bro.
Hot like a pochi pot.
Oh, you don't eat pochi.
I know, but it's still hot, Jody. Okay, the pot is hot. I don't eat the content.
The pot is hot. I cannot dispute that. Next, I've got a couple of performances that are also from Oscar buzz films. But I think they're slightly overrated, but the performances themselves are good.
Yeah.
First one, Jeremy Strong for Armageddon Time.
Playing, I haven't seen that one.
Playing a father in the 1950s in the US.
Couldn't get there.
As I said, very Oscar-baity film, but overall, oops.
You don't ravel it, me, bro. But strong performance from Jeremy Strong, you say?
Jeremy Strong, very strong.
Okay.
Very, very strong. In loved it. Like, understated, but great. Go wild. The gingers are for you.
Yeah, Jody's wife made this.
She baked them.
And she put the tot on it.
Yeah.
Not the drum drop buttons.
Is that the Shrek reference?
It's from Shrek, yeah. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Another dad performance. I think these father performances resonated with me because I'm a dad, Ross. Paul Dano in The Fablemans. Probably the only thing I like from The Fablemans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He plays
that's a solid Oscar contender.
That is Oscar bait of the highest order. Paul Dano plays the father in this movie. Again, it's an understated role. It's a role where it looks like he doesn't know what's going on around him, but his love for his family, his ability to cope with very difficult things without expressing emotion. Loved it, dude. These dad stuff just like really got to me this year. Then I have the cast of Banshees of Inisherin. I don't know who qualifies as the leads and the co-stars here, but I'm going to go with Brendan Gleeson, Kerry Condon, and Barry Keoghan as the co-stars, the supporting actors in this film. That cast is amazing. Probably the best cast I've seen in a movie for this year. That Banshees of Inisherin. And then the last one, could not leave this out. Kehi Kwan from Everything Everywhere All at Once. Again, a father that struggles with showing emotions and everything. I cannot say enough about that performance, so I will leave it at that.
Okay, I will not argue with any of that.
You cannot.
I mean, not that I'm here to argue, but I mean, we do disagree on things.
We get aggressive.
Like the unbearable weight of massive.
Did you actually watch it?
I did watch it and I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I didn't hate it as much as you. And I understand where you're coming from in terms of disappointment. But it was still a fun watch. Anyway. Okay, my nominees for Best Supporting Actor, Barry Keoghan, The Banshees of Inisherin. Again, scene stealer, heartbreaking, amazing performance.
It's him. And it's like everywhere, eh? Even in like Eternals, like a cast that
He's good, eh? He's an up and comer.
Like a cast, I mean, I don't even care. Amazing. He
might do
out.
Something interesting with the Joker.
Yeah.
Even though I'm tired of seeing the Joker.
Not required. Really,
but,
not required.
I this makes me more excited for what he could do there, and amazing performance from him.
His range.
Range. Like it's farming.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a kilometer at least.
Till there.
Mm. Yo, but how did they walk in that movie, bro?
In which one?
In Banshees of Inisherin. There's no cars. They just walk.
There's cops.
I'm just popping down to the pub. And he has to walk like King. Anyway. Next, Lashana Lynch, the Woman King.
Oh, yes. You just reminded me, Tuso Mbedu. I was going to add her to my list.
You can still? Yeah. There's no rules.
Tuso's added.
Tuso is officially added to Jodie's list. Okay. It was between the two of them. But I feel like Lashana Lynch, again, it comes down to stealing scenes, bro.
I mean, and like with, she doesn't get a lot of screen time, but the screen time she has.
No, she's funny. One. She's strong. She's so good. And honestly, there's a lot of people that's on these lists that I'm just going to follow their careers.
Yeah.
As they go forward. Okay. Next, Tino Huerta, Wakanda Forever.
Oh, stunning.
He is my new favorite addition to the Marvel Universe, I must say.
The absolute, like, thirst post about this guy on
they
all
had to
social
CGI
media.
His penis smaller. No joke.
Not a problem I would have.
His bulge was literally too big. They had to CGI it down. You can Google that. Yeah. So Tino Huerta and his penis, best supporting actor.
Co nominated.
If you think about it, his underpants was the best supporting actor.
Oh yeah.
Hey. Okay. Next one, Dolly De Leon from Triangle of Sadness. Did you get to that?
I didn't get to it.
Damn it, Jody.
Did not get to it. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's a fun film. Weird, thought provoking, out there, but her performance. And the funny
is she
thing,
the model?
No, she is one of the cleaners.
Oh, okay.
You don't see her for like the first act. Mm. She only comes into play in like the in between the second and third act or something like that. And yo, I won't spoil anything. Get to it if you can. Mm. And then I agree with you, Ki Hui Kwan, Everything Everywhere All at Once. You can't. Waymond is in my heart and in my soul. Love that guy.
In my heart. In my soul.
Anyway, then I'm going to say as well, same film, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Stephanie Sue.
Must be, yes.
I mean, amazing performance from her. Mm-hmm. Again, you must finish this film. Mm. Dana in America.
Yeah, I told you I got like halfway through.
But you saw what Emily Skeggs was doing.
Yes.
And
yo.
it's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's what she does. You're not sure if she's on the spectrum or if she has some sort of disability or if she's just odd or whatever. But once you get to the end, there's a moment, Jody, that just breaks your heart, man. Okay, my final pick for Best Supporting Actor is from a movie I watched last night called
Janelle Monáe. Sorry, I just added one to mine.
Glass Onion.
I loved it. Glass
Onion. She was good. And she's so beautiful. Yo,
I know. She's stunning.
I can't stop looking at her.
I threw that line out while Jen and I were watching and she went conspicuously quiet.
Oh, is
and
it?
And I said it.
Nothing, Jen. He loves you. Officially adding Janelle Monáe, Glass Onion to your list. Okay. My final pick is Ryan Salak from Hit the Road. It's an Iranian film about this family that are journeying to the border to try and smuggle one of their sons out. And he plays the young boy. Mm. And this kid, man, if this kid learns to speak English, the fucking world is his oyster. Yeah. Because the amount of talent, I've not only watched the film, but I've watched some BTS as well. Mm. And in between scenes, this lighty must be like 7 or something, right? Mm. And they're discussing like his character and he's like dancing and singing. And Jody, get to the form.
I will.
Absolutely amazing. And this kid.
Noted.
Anyway.
Noted.
Okay, those are my picks.
Noted.
Do you have you had enough time to make a decision?
Hot damn. I got a bit sidetracked in my head now with like adding people.
You don't have to add people. I know my list is longer, but I've just like taken time to actually think about it.
But it's that as you're talking, like, oh, wait, I remember that.
Yeah, that's the vibe.
Look, there were some strong contenders that came in late for me. Like, very strong contenders.
Mm.
But the role that still shone the most out of all of them, it has to be Kiwi Kwan's Wayman in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
What a comeback story as well.
Dude, that like that whole story of him and having to leave acting because there was no work for him after playing short round.
Did you see his friends? What's that guy from Lord of the Rings and Stranger Things?
Sean Astin.
Sean Astin. He was Frodo's boyfriend in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Sean Astin, and then the other kid from the Goonies. They presented Kiwi Kwan with an award, and it was so special.
I can imagine.
Because they've been friends ever since.
Yeah.
And they were saying, like, Waymond is Kiwi Kwan.
Yeah.
His kindness, his warmth, his strength, all that.
Like, and the genuineness of that character. I keep thinking about his speech when he, you know, when he's like fancy Wayman in the suit.
Yeah.
And he tells her like,
He switches it up. He's so confident.
And he tells her that part of, I still would have chosen you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting, I'm getting goosebumps.
I've been trying to get Abby to watch. I want to watch the movie a fourth time.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I'm trying to get Abby to watch it tonight. I told you, I've been scared to go back into
go back.
But I'm
go
going
back.
Back.
Go back.
I'm going back. I want a chunk again.
It holds up. I thought I would have more time.
That's how I felt.
I'm looking at this list, man. Okay, here it is. This is it. This is the one.
Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Yo, what a late comer.
Okay, this is my final pick, and it's going to be. I can't give two people. No, I have to. I have to pick one.
No, you can pick two.
Can I?
They make them share sometimes.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll send them both in a word.
Yeah.
It's going to be Emily Skeggs and Ryan Salek. Hit the road. I know there might be recency bias because I watched this last night, but this
doesn't matter.
This kid is so amazing, man. Mm-hmm. And Emily Skeggs in Dinner in America. I don't even know where you pull inspiration for that character. Like, it's so out there and weird and sweet and sad. And I love that movie. I love that performance. And both of them, Emily Skeggs and Ryan Salek, they both deserve this award.
Love it.
Nice. So those are our award winners. Thank you, all the people in the crowd.
Yeah, going wild.
Tonight.
Look at Gerald. He loved that he's made up for that.
Hey, Gerald. What's your favorite one?
You haven't done your favorite anything.
No, I didn't pause. I just
everything's live.
The cheer was going in our ears while you're talking. What do you know what she's talking about?
No idea. What?
You can't give it away.
Oh, your favorite scene.
That's not a category.
That's not, but she made it up. And I agree with her.
Oh, Jen, man.
We're struggling with our
six categories.
Why
didn't you tell us this a week ago?
I was just coming to ask if you spoke about that movie in
general. We will. Okay. We haven't yet.
Okay, favorite. But you're gonna mention this.
I will mention it for sure.
But I'll try and think of my favorite scene before we get there. It's gonna be hard.
I agree with her.
Okay.
So, yeah.
The next category is most disappointing film of 2022.
Hey, after all that positivity.
You need to balance it out. That's life.
We have to. Keep us on the even keel.
Even keel, you know. There's no yin without a wang.
Without the wang. Do you think it's a yin and a wang?
Yeah, yin and wang. Everybody knows that. So,
in any case.
Okay, most disappointing film. What are your nominees, Joey?
So look, this is not worst film of the year.
No, this isn't.
That is a separate category.
Yeah, context is key.
These are movies that disappointed us. For some reason or another, or the other, or a other. First off, for me, I actually forgot that I watched this movie this year.
Okay.
And while we were doing, or while I was doing my research for this episode, I was like, oh, wow, that came out. Again, I've purged all of the shit from my mind.
Yeah.
As soon as I watched it. The 355. Dude, this was, when I saw the trailer for this movie.
Yeah.
First off.
I remember.
Jessica Chastain is like probably my favorite actress right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And when I saw her leading this film of like an amazing cast with an interesting action movie premise, I was like, what could go wrong?
Yeah.
Apparently everything. It's so generic to the point of actually being nondescript. It's like,
Black Adamitis.
Like. Yeah. I cannot remember the plot.
They also have a flash drive or something, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a flash drive that will destroy the world. So much of this movie was just Blair. It's so difficult getting female casted movies off the ground and to...
Especially in this genre as well.
In action especially, yeah. For them to have squandered this trance so badly for me was just so
why did she agree to this?
I think that on the face of it, it seems like a good idea.
Yeah, but I mean, people read the script as you go. Yeah,
maybe you feel like, you know, sometimes I can just make it work when I'm doing the stuff. And in this case, no.
Do not disagree with you.
They could not. Then I also had a movie, which this might be a controversial choice because I know that it's been on a lot of people's favorites.
You know, we don't shy away from controversy.
We don't shy away from it at all. And this horror movie, for me, was super derivative. There's a much better version of it called It Follows.
Mm.
And my nominee is Smile. Not terribly scary, but of a wasted premise. And
I haven't seen it yet.
And yeah, the supposedly controversial ending for a horror movie is not that controversial at all because it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
So I was just like, yo, what was all the fuss about?
You're not going to spoil it.
No.
In case I do.
But it sucks.
Okay.
You're not. Like, you need to make oxygen choices with your audience.
Yeah, that is true. Okay.
This is not one that you have to waste any of that on.
Thank you.
Then this is a new edition based on what I've seen recently. Might be controversial, but The Fablemans was...
Wow.
Kind of meh.
Did not see that coming.
Kind of meh.
That's crazy.
I think it's also the fact that it's a beautifully shot film. You can see Steven Spielberg, like, this is apparently very autobiographical for him.
Mm.
But it just feels like Oscar bait.
Mm.
It feels like everything they're doing in this movie is with the idea that...
Will Smithitis, as I like to call it.
Very much so.
Did you see Emancipation, by the way?
No.
Okay.
I didn't get to it.
Yeah.
And I asked you about that for a while.
Yeah. Like, no, you did. You asked me for it. It didn't slap me as an important film to watch.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Fablemans, you say. Because they were calling this Spielberg's return to glory.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie. If he had focused on the kid, the youngest version of himself for longer, I might have enjoyed the film more.
Okay.
Because there's an innocence to that and there's a joy and a wonder in him discovering film that is great. But then they skip ahead to a different version, which I just didn't like that much. So yeah, it was a bit Oscar baity.
Okay.
Last one for me. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Yeah, okay.
I know.
I go, okay.
I know.
I had fun with it.
This was a movie that when you first told me about it, Ross, I was...
The premise was very enticing.
Beyond excited. Mm. This is Nicolas Cage getting to Cage. To the
on a Nicolas.
Yeah.
And Pedro Pascal.
And Pedro Pascal is there enabling the caginess.
Mm.
And they just don't cage as much as I thought they would cage.
Mm, they dropped the cage.
They dropped the cage on this one.
I'm sorry.
Maybe my hopes are too high.
Maybe. I mean, it is Nicolas Cage and his cage-a-sons. So you hit the standards.
The cage-a-sons will continue despite my...
Yeah, because our favorite film was a Nicolas Cage film last year.
We hated that. We both loved it. Yeah. Pig was far and away our favorite movie.
Okay, I'm going to run through mine.
Mm.
This might be a stupid choice, but I still had hope. Uncharted.
Oh, wow.
So
you had hope.
I did have hope because I really love those games. I put in hours and hours with those games.
Mm.
And then they cast who they cast,
yes,
which is already disappointing in itself. But I thought at least, you know, they're going to get the game part right, maybe build it, you know, something. And it was meh. Yeah. It was disappointing. And why is Mark Wahlberg still working?
Apparently, he thought he was auditioning for the lead. And they didn't tell him he wasn't.
Cool.
He only found out.
Yeah.
He only found out.
That is, I wish I was in the room for that. I really do.
Not lead? What do you mean I'm not lead?
Don't say hi to your mother for me, okay?
So upset.
Okay. The next one, The Bubble. The way they handled it, especially in the pandemic, you know? I thought it would be the movie that sort of pokes fun at the
situation, topical.
And handle it with a bit of finesse. But
even the marketing campaign, like releasing it with a fake name, and it was just like part four, five, whatever. I was like,
Really
this
cool.
This looks cool.
No, they shat the bed with that one. Next is Death on the Nile.
Mm.
So I really enjoyed the train one, which is...
Murder on the Orient Express.
Jody was the Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that one. And I thought, okay, Poirot is a character that you see every so often.
Yeah.
Every few years, there's another fucking version.
Benoit Blanc.
Even Dengas did one. What's his name? The guy. No, John Malkovich.
Yes.
Even he did a version of Poirot. Yeah. So it's like you see this character pop up, and I was super excited for Death on the Nile because I enjoyed Murder on the Orient Express so much. And it, again, shat the bed. Gal Gadot, why is she working?
Yeah.
Armie Hammer, weirdo.
I feel like Kenneth Branagh needs someone with him that, like, tempers him a bit.
Yeah, because
he gets a bit up his own ass with too many things.
I mean, it took so long to get to the murder. Mm. And, like, the whole bull, I didn't care about anything.
Yeah.
And it was.
But you see, it's also like bad performances that do that.
It does do that. I mean, bad script, bad
performance.
You're just
not interested in getting to that point.
I win. Anyway, moving on to the next one. I agree with you again. The 355 Audible. The potential of that film just pisses me off.
So much.
Anyway. Then I'm going to add Thor Love and Thunder. I thought about it. That it did finish strong, but it just wasn't enough in the end. I think the decisions that were made and the direction they took it couldn't be redeemed in the end. It was very disappointing for me. So Thor Love and Thunder. Next one, my final one is The King's Man.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was okay.
No, but that's no. Okay. So this was supposed to be the return to form for me.
For the series.
Exactly. Mm. I would have liked to see Eggsy again, but okay, they took
we
it
will
back.
Apparently.
Yeah, yeah. But now I'm not so excited about it because this film tied into the Boer War and shit. And
in a way that I was not really vibing with.
Yeah, as well as a POC. Mm. So it's like a little strange there, but also overly long, super political for no reason. Yeah. Like it's not even political as in taking stances. It's just there's so much politics in the story.
Yeah.
And I was just like, ugh. And what you want to see from a Kingsman franchise is spy action.
Yeah.
And, some and jokes, like some spy action.
Random super violence and spy action.
And that's weird gadgets, even in that time. You know what I mean? And I didn't get enough of that.
And Rumpelstiltskin, they could have done a lot more with.
Yeah, Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, Stiltskin.
Rasputin.
Yeah, that guy. They could have done a lot more with
they
him.
Could, it wasn't a fairy tale. Don't ever do a Jody. No, they could have. And he's a good actor.
Yeah. Got you.
Okay, so what's your pick? Most disappointing film.
I'm going to go with The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Wow.
I don't know, man. I think I just went in with my expectations too high for this film. Way too high.
The unbearable weight of your expectations.
And they were. It was unbearable. And it failed to deliver.
No, I get it. Okay, after much thought, I'm going to have to say Thor Love and Thunder.
Oh, I was not expecting that.
I know. I if you don't know this, we recorded this episode already like a couple of weeks ago. And
plot twist.
Yeah. We realized we haven't seen enough movies. So
we need to do this.
We gave ourselves more time. And we watched some more. And we had some time to think about it. And
yeah.
I think my expectations for that movie was just through the fucking roof because of Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And it let me down so bad from one of my favorite directors, from one of my favorite franchises, from one of my favorite characters, and one of my favorite actors.
And the storyline.
Yeah.
Right?
The addition of Christian Bale that was announced, like all these things, the addition of Natalie Portman, like it made me so excited for it. And I was left wanting. A better film.
Shame, man.
Yeah, it was. I thought about it and it really hurt me, man. I thought for sure that was a home run.
I'm surprised because that movie also just ended up being okay for me. For me, the last
but
saved
okay
it.
Is not. We're not used to okay.
That shouldn't be
okay. We're not used to okay from that director and that character.
That's true.
Yeah.
And again, this is not us saying Taika's a shit director.
No, that's
not
what we're
let's
saying.
Let's not get confused because right. Taika has done some amazing stuff.
That's true. And Rita Ora is very attractive.
She is stunning. Abby's not here. You can go absolutely crazy. Rita.
The crowd, what do you, the crowd
that's
agrees
what
with
they
us.
Think.
Yeah, they agree with us. And they are also disappointed. So
you all are.
Yo, I'm so I feel sad now. The category is Best Performance of 2022. Oh, Jody, this is an exciting one.
This is an exciting one.
How long is your list, first of all? No, it's just eyeball it. You don't have to tell me the exact number.
Under 10.
Under 10? Okay, mine is about 17. No, I'm joking. Okay, let's go with your nominees for Best Performance.
Best Performance has to start out with the movie that made me cry the earliest this year.
Mm.
Michelle Yeoh in Everything Everywhere Ow! All at Once. This lady finally getting the opportunity to shine again in a Western film. Because I still think Crouching Tiger is more still coming from the Asian market in terms of its release. This was her chance to shine in a movie that was being produced mainstream.
Yeah.
And she hit it out of the park.
Nothing to add from me.
Then I have Aubrey Plaza for Emily the Criminal.
I still haven't seen that, damn it.
The movie itself is, it's decent.
Yeah.
It's good. It's Breaking Bad in 1:30. So that's like, there's some parts that are underdeveloped.
Yeah.
But Aubrey Plaza is amazing. Like the stuff that she, the way she conveys that sense of dread, like being a student with all of your debt, not being able to get good jobs because of criminal record for random shit.
This is real for a lot of people.
It's
But she's also having a little bit of a glow up, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, everything she does is really, really good. But now she's like choosing projects that highlight her other skills. Yeah.
Because I think people will forever associate her with things like Parks and Rec and now White Lotus, but there is so much more to it. If you haven't seen Black Bear, go out and watch that as well.
You don't have to go out. You can watch it at home.
It's at home. Mr. Video also is.
Mr. Video. Yeah. We always show our age.
Have you seen what we look like?
Yeah, we can't hide our age.
My next one is one that I got from your recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
The star of The Worst Person in the World, Renata Reinsva.
Come on.
Yo, dude, that...
Come on.
Her arc in that movie. I don't know what I was expecting, but...
I didn't know either going
She still somehow subverted my expectations in all the best ways. I didn't know it's a subtitled film for some reason, despite you telling me.
I did tell you.
I remember our conversation.
I said it was a Norwegian film.
But it is so worth watching. Yeah. And even her co-stars, like I'll retroactively add in her co-stars to my supporting performances.
Especially if you're in your 30s, I feel like you should. It resonates. 100%.
It really resonates. Finding yourself, your identity, all of that stuff, that's brilliant. Okay, these are the two lead actors of a movie that I saw very recently, that the other movie that made me absolutely chunk this year. The stars of After Sun, Paul Pascal and Frankie Corio. So she plays his young daughter, 11 years old, and he's the father in this movie. Again, it's a movie in a year where they focused a lot on family dynamics and parent-child relationships. This is probably the parent-child relationship that stood out to me the most, more so than Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Okay.
And as I said, I was crying buckets.
I don't think you should watch parent-child relationship movies anymore.
It's rough.
I think you cannot be fraught out.
But the scene where like towards the climax of the movie where they're playing under pressure and him and her have their moment.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Just the juxtaposition of what the flashes that you've been seeing of the dancing and the strobe versus them dancing on holiday.
The negative perception of that and then that positive moment.
Such
there.
A good film.
Whew. Then I probably saved what I consider my best two for last. I think I might still change my mind after you give
you might. You might.
Cate Blanchett for Tár was...
Is that how you say it?
I think that's how you say it. Ah. But plot twist is not a real name.
Okay. Do you know I only watched half of that film?
Really? Ooh, sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. You won't understand now. But the movie itself is just so well done, but her performance.
How would I want this? She asked me the first half or the second half. No, I started the film. Went away to wash the dishes and then came in halfway and then finished.
Watch the rest. No, how long do you wash dishes?
This was a lot of dishes. We were cooking for Christmas.
Saved it up.
Mm.
And also, the reason she asked is because our favorite performance, favorite moment scene in a movie is the scene where she comes in. But now I can't say it because you haven't watched.
Say it.
In any case, there's a scene towards the end of the movie where shit has been unraveling.
Yeah.
Because you know the whole point of the movie is like her life unraveling in like a week. But she comes in where she doesn't have an orchestra anymore, but she still believes it's her orchestra. And she just walks in totally psychotically and moves the new conductor off.
Wow. Of the
and then just stands up and she's like, give me eyes, give me eyes. And tries to start playing.
And everyone's quiet.
Everyone is just watching her. That's the security insane. Only comes in when she moves him the second time.
Nice.
They just let her be.
Look, I've watched half of that film.
You have to watch
No, I've watched half of that film. Mm. And spoiler alert, she's on my list.
Yeah.
And I've only seen half the performance.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, my final one. It's a bit out of left field, but voice actors are actors too, Ross.
They are which actors. We
sadly forget. And I don't know if you noticed, but my list is dominated by females. Mm. I only have one male.
I think this is something you should discuss with your therapist.
Bro. Yeah, no, she's sitting here. Getting to this later. But my final nominee is also a woman, and she actually plays the voice of a male character in this movie. It's Jenny Slate from Marcel the Shell
with Shoes On. Yes,
I could not leave her out of
forgot
this.
About that.
Yeah, I honestly think she deserves an Oscar for this performance. Ugh. She is the amount of emotion, the depth of character, the wisdom that she bestows into this tiny little shell.
And it's so good to see Jenny Slate like in this light because. Mm. I mean, she's more well known for comedy and stuff and being kicked off SNL for swearing.
Yeah.
But other than that, I feel like, yo, this is, it came out of left field from her for
completely.
Me.
Completely. I mean, I didn't watch the YouTube shorts.
Yeah, me neither.
So I was coming into this without any background knowledge, but.
Such a good film.
Yo, the character, just like everything that she's done with it, amazing.
Okay, let's get into mine. Best performance of 2022. Colin Farrell. The Banshees of Inisherin. I chose one. I know you couldn't choose one.
I'm gonna add him as well.
I chose one because this performance was just out of this world. Colin Farrell playing a nice, dumb man who cannot understand what's going on.
Beautifully dumb.
Yeah. Cannot understand why things are happening the way they are.
He just loves
happening.
His donkey.
Look, Martin McDonagh. Mm. Has made some of my favorite films.
In Bruges.
In Bruges. Three Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. That's the full name.
Yeah.
And it's always that darkly funny.
Yeah, now that I think of it, like Sam Rockwell's character.
Yeah.
Three Billboards.
It's always
same vibe.
Super
right?
funny, super dark, and has like this poignant moment in the end. And he's becoming one of my favorite directors of all time.
Yeah, I love
he's 3 for 3 now.
Yeah.
The way he uses Colin Farrell and Gleason, man. Mm. I don't know which Brendan. Is he the father, Brendan?
Yeah.
Yeah, not Donald.
No.
Donald?
Donald.
No,
Donald. Abdominal.
Donald.
The guy that's in Star
Wars. Yeah, Abdominal.
Yeah, Abdominal.
Abdominal Gleason.
It's Domhnall.
So oh.
We were all right.
So the way he uses the two of them, if you've seen In Bruges and you watch this film, that's a lovely double feature. Come on.
Yeah.
And Colin Farrell just shines for me. I think it's because he gets a bit more screen time for me, so I chose him.
I think people forget that he is actually such a good actor, but he's made some poor choices with roles along the way.
Look, it's the come up of the dingus. He was young, he was hot, he was action, he was dingus SWAT.
Exactly.
Amazing performance from him this year. Then I'm going to go Viola Davis for The Woman King.
Oh, yeah.
She is a powerhouse, and at 57, she's cutting motherfuckers' heads off and shit.
Yeah, she
love it.
Yeah, I don't think I could take her in a fight.
No, are you crazy?
Don't think
she'll kill us. She'll kill us both at the same time. Yeah, 100%. And we wouldn't complain.
No, no. Just don't cry while you're doing it.
Then I will agree with you again. Michelle Yeoh, Everything Everywhere All at Once. This is the role she was meant to play. I'm going to then go with Stephen Graham for Boiling Point. So that is the chef film. Well, it's not a chef
film. The other chef film.
It's a film about a chef in a restaurant, and it's a wanna. The whole film is a wanna.
Oh, okay.
And he just spiraling. You find out like why he's spiraling and stuff. And it's a really brilliant performance from him.
I didn't
and
even know about this because the menu's like the
But this was early in the year already. Okay. And he doesn't get enough credit.
Mm.
He was in Snatch. But he does so much work in the UK that he doesn't get the clout in the US.
Yeah,
which is a problem for me. But this performance from him, amazing. Then I'm gonna say Amber Midthunder for Prey.
Oh yeah.
Prey is one of the films of when we developing our list and stuff. Mm. I just keep going back to it and be like, yo, I really fucking enjoyed this.
That was
movie.
A really fun movie.
And I keep bringing it up my list. Mm. And that movie wouldn't have worked as well if it wasn't for her.
No, it's actually all her.
Yeah, and she was so good. Then I'm going to say Renate Reinsveer, Worst Person in the World. Brilliant performance.
Yeah. Even that scene where she freezes time.
Yeah. So
like
good.
Just like, you know, so what I mean? Good. Like a fascinating idea.
Those were
idea.
Flat, eh?
Yeah.
The people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that because I was like, this isn't a high budget film. How did they pull this
How
off?
Did they do this? Yeah.
Anyway. Then I'm going to say Cate Blanchett for Tar. Mm-hmm. Well, for half of Tar.
Watch the rest.
Yeah, I will. But I mean, that half of a performance already. The you could see it sort of unraveling in her like predatory ways, like coming through. And it was so subtle.
Ross, the small thing she does. Like, there's one other that's my absolute favorite as well, apart from our favorite.
Okay.
But she's super OCD and she hates when people do like ticking stuff or like patting their legs.
Yeah, yeah.
And she goes into the meeting with that brother, the assistant conductor. Sebastian. Yeah, Sebastian.
Oh, okay.
She goes into a meeting in his office.
Mm.
And then she tells him, what's that poster over there? And then she grabs the pen that he clicks in the meetings the whole time. Without him seeing, she just grabs it and puts it in the pocket. She is so petty in that movie.
Listen, she should probably win an Oscar.
I think she's the shoo-in for the Oscar, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think she is.
Okay, I have two more. Her name is Pantina Panhiha from Hit the Road. She plays the mother.
Mm.
When you watch it, you'll vice me again.
Am I going to cry some more?
You might. You probably will.
It's been a tearful.
You probably will. But that movie, yo. And then I'm going to say, again, choosing one where you couldn't, Frankie Corio for After Sun. It didn't feel like acting at all.
No.
Because what she perceives and the things that she picks up, it's so
age,
subtly done. Yeah. Oh,
but,
my God.
But it's also that.
Such a good film.
Like, she perceives those things, and the father thinks he's hiding it from her.
Yeah.
Like, all of
but
that.
But not only with the father, with the teens, with the people around
things
her, like
around
all those
her,
things that she's picking up. It's such a good performance from her, and those are my picks. Mm. And now we have to choose one.
We have to somehow choose one. Yo. I'm going to give you my top three.
Okay. But is there a winner?
There's a winner.
Okay.
So in third place, even though I think she's going to win the Oscar, is Cate Blanchett.
Mm.
And my only reason for this is that in a year filled with stuff that is like, there's been so much like, it's not negativity per se, but it's not like positive endings or like positive characters.
Yeah.
I feel like I wanted to choose a positive character. So even though I think she's a shoo-in for the Oscar, I'm going to put that number three on my list.
Okay.
My number two is the co-stars of After Sun. I'm going to choose both of them just for, I feel like they complete each other in that film. And my number one, with the theme of positivity, with the theme of hope, is Jenny Slate for Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
Okay.
She infuses so much into that character with only her voice.
Yeah.
She deserves an Oscar for it, even though I don't think she's going to get one.
Okay. In my number three spot, I'm also going to put Cate Blanchett.
Oh, yeah.
Just because I didn't finish the film, but already I was like, yo, this is, yo.
Astonishing.
Yes, so. Yeah.
It's like music, and that's specific. Like,
yeah.
She's super convincing.
But she basically learned to conduct for this film.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. She basically learned to conduct for this film. It's insane. Like studying music and everything. I mean, you would have to.
You can tell.
I mean, you would have to do it in order for her to perform like that. No, but they float, you know.
Yeah, everyone thinks it's a real person.
It's not. Anyway, okay, that's my number
three.
Okay, number two, I'm going to go with Colin Farrell. Oh, that was close. I'm going to go with Colin Farrell. Once you see Banshees of Inisherin, you understand.
Power track number two.
Such a good guy. Anyway, and then for number one, I'm going to say Michelle Yeoh. Because it's a weird thing where someone has such a long career And at the end, or close to the end of it, I would say, maybe not close to the end of it, but, you know, late,
she's
in,
along
late
years,
in the game, she finds a role that she was literally born to play. I feel like that is something special.
It is.
And it's something that we as Brasa should award. So I am going to say Michelle Yeoh for Everything Everywhere All at Once.
We'll personally deliver
ours. That's right. We will deliver it personally. What does the crowd think? They agree.
They're going wild.
It's people cheering.
Thank you.
The category is the biggest nigh of 2022. Biggest nigh of 2022, Jody.
Yeah, you and I, again, we are not negative people.
No, we're not negative people.
We are resoundingly positive.
These movies can make us negative people.
They can.
If we, if, like a half of us would probably watch these movies
on repeat.
Yeah, strapped down, being fed. Like, okay, you know what I discovered that I really hate is those Woolly smoothies. Because of that.
It's a texture.
It's like swallowing vomit.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
It is. Jenna loves that.
Abby also loves it. Anyway, oh, okay, man. Hit me with some of your nominees.
So, I don't have any nominees, Ross.
No, but
I've got a winner.
No, but you have to, at least then.
Okay.
Do you want me to run through my nominees?
You go through yours.
The Bubble, obviously. Trash. Then I'm going to say, it's Morbin time. Morbius. Morbius, one of the most generic, crappy... It wasn't even a superhero movie. They wanted to do the... Well, Sony only has villains to play with, really.
Yeah, but they called him anti-hero.
Yeah, he's an anti-hero who drinks blue blood. Then I'm going to say Me Time. Another disappointment from Kevin Hart. I will then say Jurassic Park Dominion. I didn't think it would be that bad. I knew it would be bad. I didn't think it would be that bad. Like where a movie about dinosaurs is focused around insects.
Clones.
Yeah, it's very strange. I will then say Black Adams. One of the worst performances from The Rock. One of the most generic superhero movies of all time.
15 years in the making.
15 years too late is more like it. And then I will say Moonfall.
That's another one that just...
Oh, so like
that's another one that just like... Purge from the mind.
Listen,
I will endorse all of your choices.
Roland Emmerich
should not touch.
What is
a
he
camera.
Doing?
He's done his latest two films that I can remember.
What is the one before Moonfall?
Independence Day Resurgence. Now, I know Roland's had some success in his life. You know?
Yeah.
Hopefully enough to retire on.
I think this is the thing. Like,
he should not get close to a camera anymore.
There's enough disaster in real life.
Yeah.
You don't need to make disaster movies anymore.
Especially with Hollow Moon. Especially with Hollow Moon.
Oh, yeah, Hollow Moon, but with something living in it.
Yeah. I endorse all your choices, even the ones I didn't watch.
Okay. Because you're not going to watch them.
No. I feel like I need to watch Morbius just for the novelty value at this point.
It's so cack.
Okay, before you and I get into our winners.
Yeah.
We got a ton of responses from the Brasa on this. I'm going to run through them because we're running out of time. Worst movies of the year. Yazid Peters says The Batman, Black Adam, anything made by Netflix.
Wow.
Maybe not
That's
anything.
That's a very broad brush, man.
There's some good stuff
the
there.
The Batman is amazing, by the way.
Yeah. Luigi Perez, 94, says Morbius or Black Adam. Movie so cuck, he didn't even bother spelling it right.
That's right. It's morning time.
The real Lyndon Collison says Medea Homecoming.
Nice. I didn't see that one. This. Jen, are you a fan?
I
don't know. You seem like you like Medea.
I've never seen that one.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
She just said Medea and best in the same sentence.
You see.
Very funny. Hello.
Safia 6 says Thor Love and Thunder. She agrees with you know, because disappointment for this year.
Yeah.
Dean Schroeder says Fall. Horrible movie, but almost horrible enough to be quite a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed Fall. I enjoyed Fall, I must say.
Then Fishtad says Troll. Camilla Thurgood says Enola Holmes 2. She just couldn't get into either of them.
Camilla.
We liked Enola Holmes 2.
Yeah, we did.
It was worth it. Try again. David John Dotmaton says Black Adam. David John Dotmaton has got my favorite answer of the lot, which is Black Adam. complete Boknai.
Yeah, David Jong from Matong. That's the I agree with that sentiment. Yeah.
Morgan is Scruffy Dog Productions has hit us with 2020's Tenet for our list of 2022's worst movies.
I think he just really hates that film. Mm. I mean, for years now.
It's not aged well.
I'm glad that you are also being objective about this.
I can be objective.
Yes, I love that.
Taylor Lowe says Blonde, which got a ton of controversy.
I am not going to watch it.
I have not seen.
I'm not going to watch it.
I feel like I want to see it just for the how bad.
You do that, my friend. You do that.
I might get there. And then Errol Null has also said Black Adam. So if we had to poll our...
Yeah, I think it would be Black Adam.
Black Adam seems to be a runaway winner there.
Yeah. I think people have a certain expectation of superhero movies now. And if the quality is even somewhat mediocre, it's being called out.
But Rossi, no. When it comes to The Rock, it's not like your expectations are there.
No, because they've gone through his past. He's a franchise killer.
So you...
Think about it. He's a franchise killer.
Not always, eh?
Mostly.
He revived the Fast franchise.
Not
and
really,
Jumanji.
Though. Not really. Hobbs & Shaw was trash.
Yes, that killed it. He revived it.
Spin-off cuck.
But Jumanji was good.
Jumanji was good because of everyone else.
Daniel
DeVito.
Yes, that's a good... Yeah.
That's true. It's not
Kevin
The Rock
Hart,
only.
Kevin Hart actually is decent in
he's
there.
He's decent in there, especially because he's Donald Glover.
Yeah,
I mean, Danny.
Yeah, he's Danny Glover. He's just amazing.
Yeah. Come on. So, what is your pick? Because you're not even nominating.
I didn't even nominate anything else because the winner is The Bubble.
Wow. Okay.
That movie should not have been made.
Yeah.
I cannot explain how shit this
movie is. And it's so, I mean, Judd Apatow, his runtime is always too long.
Yes.
Now imagine just a runtime of too long, but too long of cuck.
Yes.
And that's what this movie is. I could not wait for it to end.
Karen Gillan act like she's masturbating in a bed out of boredom. Making Pedro Pascal have sex with a hologram.
Yeah.
It is just no. Just no.
Well, I'm not anti-masturbation, to be fair.
I'm not against masturbation, but that was gratuitous and unnecessary, Ross.
There's no such thing as gratuitous masturbation.
There is.
You do you.
Yeah, at Bicycle Ross headquarters, we do not masturbate to reshame.
we
do not agree with all forms of masturbation on film.
Well, whatever. I'm just deciding.
You've seen a few more than me, so you've got some options.
No, but I think I'm gonna give it to Moonfall, just because this genre should have died a long time ago.
It really should.
And even if you stack up disaster films, this one will be at the bottom of the pile.
Far and away.
The premise itself is fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. The execution is boring.
Worse.
Yeah. Honestly, I was bored in this film.
Even watching his face, shame. Do you know who I feel for the most? That guy from Game of Thrones, who plays
Samwise Gamgee.
Sam
Tarwell.
You know?
Yeah.
He was in Marry Me and he was in Moonfall.
He was a nerd, yeah.
And add Marry Me to the list. Generic cuck for this.
Generic cuck. No, but I mean, he was the characterizations as well is from like the 90s.
Yeah.
These are stereotypes from the 90s that you're trying to bring back into 2022.
I think he took it straight from his Godzilla film.
Fucking script. You cannot convince me this script is not from the 90s.
He's been waiting.
We didn't have the technology, but we do now.
To make the moon hollow.
Like, it's fucking ridiculous. This was a bunch of boring nothing.
Do you know what enabled it for them?
When?
That scene in Infinity War where Thanos pulls the moon down.
Yeah.
They were like, fuck, people are into that shit. Let's do it.
Yeah, we need a moon movie.
We need a moon movie.
Yeah, okay.
Let's do that same scene from the moon's perspective.
It would have actually been more exciting if it was just the moon that was like going out of orbit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's Moonfall. I think the bubble deserves it. And I also think it's Moonfall as well.
They deserve each other.
They deserve each other. And the crowd agrees. Thank you. Thank you to everyone this evening who came.
They have been so consistent and so strong.
Yeah. And I'm glad the Brasa agree with us. Jody just shooed away a homeless person.
No, that was Bob.
Who's Bob?
Bob is Bob.
What does that mean?
Bob's going to go to Jenna now.
Do you give Bob things?
Sometimes.
Okay. Do you have things for Bob today?
No.
Well, Bob needs to fuck off. It's time for the biggest quiet of 2022. The biggest quiet. Yeah, we told Bob to fuck
Bob
off.
Bob just came.
Jody called it. He said he's going to go to Jenna now. Well, this award is dedicated to Bob.
Anywho, so we are doing the Brasser first.
The Brasser is quiet. What do the Brasser think is quiet for 2022?
So we have Yazid Peters, which we wanted to watch.
I did not watch that. Runtime is daunting, my friend. Yeah. That runtime is daunting.
Need to set out.
And if I got a 3-hour movie, I'm going to put it into Batman. You know what I mean?
That's exactly it. But which was Yazid's worst movie of the year.
Yo, Yazid. But I think I'm going to break it into half and half that film.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do that.
Go for it. Then we had Gersh for the Win with Tar. Luigi Perez with The Fallout or Crimes of the Future.
Oof, I haven't seen The Fallout or Crimes of the Future, but The Fallout's on my list. The thing is, Jenna Ortega is apparently amazing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes,
yes. That's for the school shooting.
Yes. I actually did want to see that as well.
Agree with Tar?
Yeah, very solid much pick, so.
Yeah?
Real Lyndon Collison, Black Adam.
Lyndon Collison is not family of us anymore.
Not sure if he...
Or is he's family of Abby.
Not anymore.
Not to me. Disagree with you, Lyndon.
Yo, Safia Six, Spider-Man.
Okay, I can see that. If you're that? A superhero person.
Yeah, Far From Home.
Yeah?
No way.
Never going home.
Never going home.
Yeah.
Dean Schroeder, Dune, who says he just rewatched it and thinks it was even better the second time around. Fishtaz.
Did Dune come out this year?
Yeah, early this year.
Dune was a solid film, man. Timothée Chalamet.
Stunning visuals.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Timothée Chalamet. Chalamet.
Fishtaz says, Bullet Train. Kak funny. Kamala Thurgood says, Top Gun.
Low standards, that one, eh? And that's all it takes to be favorite film of the year.
Bullet Train has two picks.
Favorite film of the year, Kak funny.
Yeah, Fishtaz, Bullet Train, and Edel Nell, Bullet Train.
Okay. I enjoyed Bullet Train, though.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Kamala Thurgood says Top Gun and Good Luck to You, Leo Grande, which I still want to watch.
Good film.
Tony Maneo, Top Gun. David John Mouton, Top Gun. Crazy Lee says Where the Crawdads Sing.
Manita. I'm not going to watch that.
Asher Pardee. Says Wakanda
What
Forever.
Comes before Asher Pardee? Asher Pardee.
And then Kayla Lowe says Nope. Which I agree with very much. Added it to my
list. Okay, solid. Okay, so to buy you some time, I'm going to give some honorable mentions.
Yes, please.
My honorable mentions. So please know that this is not. These are movies that are just outside my top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Woman King. Because you must agree.
Yeah. She does.
Another honorable mention. Prey, for me. Another one. Decision to Leave. This is Park Chan-wook, his new film. Not as hectic, but it's a nice little mystery romance vibe.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to say Triangle of Sadness, Barbarian. That was such a good film. Perfect first act. Glass Onion. A lot of fun with that.
Super fun movie.
Daniel Craig is delightful.
As Benoit Blanc.
I would like to see at least five more movies
that
from this guy.
That accent is just... But you see, having no other recurring characters,
it's perfect.
Is perfect for those characters.
For him to interact with new people every time. You can keep this going as long as he's willing to do it.
Is everything that Hercule Poirot should be, but isn't.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then my final honorable mention outside of my top 10 is The Batman.
Not in the top 10?
I couldn't make it. This was a long debate. This was a long debate, and it was up and down and all around. And I was rating and taking half stars away and adding likes, and it was a fucking shit show. But I ended up. This is what I'm sticking with. This is solid. Fuck it.
Okay.
Okay. My number 10 for 2022 is Bones and All.
I didn't see it. Timothée Chalamet.
So I'm usually not a huge fan of Timothée Chalamet.
I'm worried about the cannibalism.
Yeah, if you are skittish with that stuff, it can get hectic. It's not that hectic, but there's scenes where they bite into flesh and like pull on it and stuff. Okay.
I checked whether it's a bit weird, and then they said it's a bitchy weird. Okay. And I was
but
like,
the but reason it's my number 10 is because it's such an original film. I've never seen anything like this where it's unique in it being a sort of cannibal vibe with romance, with heartbreak, with trauma. It's a lot of things packed into this film, and I really enjoyed it. And then my number 9 is The Northman.
That might have made it onto my list.
Dude, this movie is such, I can't even say it's a fun watch, but it just kept me so engaged in this fucking Nordic revenge tale.
Yeah. It's basically what? Hamlet?
Right?
Something. It's one of the Shakespeare movies, basically.
Yeah, Shakespeare, class and things. Yeah. No, fuck, I don't care.
Yeah.
But I mean, dark, it's gritty. It's amazing performance from him, Anya Taylor-Joy. It's a nice dance between what's real and what's perceived versus what's, you know, your religion and what you believe and all this stuff. And beautiful. Love revenge movies.
Okay.
Okay, now we're going to go to number 8. What's your number 8 pick?
Batman made it into my top 8. Thinking back on this movie, like delivering on the hype from the first trailer for me and just Robert Pattinson, this is, he has the potential to be the definitive Batman for me, based off of what he's done in his first role here. I think the ideas around Batman's tech, the violence of the character, the intensity. Thinking back on this movie, Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman, even Colin Farrell in his Penguin get up.
So good.
The cast is stellar. The story is brilliant. Paul Dano as the Riddler was just like
Paul Dano. He's a force.
Freaking world.
Yeah. Open. Bob is not coming back. Okay. Open the door. Okay. Bob won't come back. No. Wait. You don't have to do any. You're still in pajamas.
What are you doing?
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, but it's fine.
But what are you doing? What do you need to go do?
Yeah, this is Boxing Day. The only thing we're supposed to do is box.
Yeah.
Box things.
I'm going to roll it.
Okay, solid. Solid pick for your number 8. My number 8 is The Worst Person in the World. I love this film. It resonated number 9. With me. As
here's a number 9 for me. Actually, it would be I if I remember it.
I absolutely love this film. I do think you should watch it, especially if you don't know what you're doing with your life. So good.
Loved it. Yeah. Now I'm adding it in there.
Number 7.
My number 7. Gonna go with Kayla's favorite movie for this year. Nope.
Oh.
Again, a movie that I know you weren't that
notice
fond
notice how
of.
Nope isn't even in my fucking top.
I know that you weren't that fond of this film, but for me, this movie's themes just somehow really resonated with me. Very
aliens.
Strongly.
Aliens.
That idea of old versus new and
aliens.
How you. Yes, there's an alien. There's also a monkey. And they are horses.
Yeah.
But that idea of old versus new, of sacrifice, of fantastic lead performance from Kaluuya, Daniel Kaluuya, Kiki Palmer kicking ass.
Do you love me? Oh, you're not.
This movie was I know it had a lot
it was
of
okay.
Nah, I love it. It was really very much hit and miss with people, but for me it was a hit.
Okay, liquor. What are we on now?
7.
Ah, 7. This might shock you, but number 7 is Top Gun Maverick.
It's a,
yeah.
It's
I know, I thought it would shock you
it's so
low. Yeah.
Nah, I know that you've
Top Gun Maverick, a wonderful experience in the cinema this year. Tom Cruise doing the absolute most. You can't, when he's top gun of his game, you can't fucking fault that,
it's,
man.
It's hard to fault that.
100%. Man. And he deserves the praise.
Number 6 for me. This might surprise you by... No. Actually, no. Doing a shift. Marcel Duchamp with Shoes On.
Wow.
Dropped down. I was very tempted to move it higher up, but there are some powerful movies that I've seen recently.
What do you mean? It's Marcel.
But Marcel, the hope that this movie gives you, just the joy of watching this character unfolding, and also the conceit of having her biographer or his biographer also be involved and come into the story as well.
Yeah, because he tries to be like the documentarian and not get involved.
But then Marcel has moments where he's pissed with him and he's like, you know, I struggle to do these things. I don't always get to do the stuff I want to do because I can't.
Solid pick. My number six is After Sun. Yeah, looking bad at a father with depression and, you know, it's super intimate with, like, amazing performances from the father and daughter. So, number six, you deserve to be there. What's your number five?
Number five for me is probably going to surprise you at its lowness, but Banshees of Inisherin.
Wow!
It's a beautiful film. It's a simple story. It's a story about a friend who doesn't like his friend anymore.
He doesn't like his friend?
And the other friend wants to know why. It's well acted. That contrast of humor and darkness.
Yeah.
No one else is doing it as well as this director, Martin McDonagh.
Yeah. No, I get you. My number five is also Banshees of Inisherin.
I thought it was going to be higher up.
No, I thought so too. But I agree with you. Yeah. Number five, it deserves to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's your number four?
Number four is It's not just a powerhouse performance. I mean, this movie is long. It's 2.5 hours, which is probably why you didn't see the whole thing.
Not a fan of that runtime.
But there are techniques that this director uses that I love. There's a super fascinating story. Cate Blanchett just carries this movie.
I would have loved to finish it and then make a decision, but it's not fair.
I think you'll get there
at
some point because it is worth finishing.
Okay. Shit, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty
now. The serious stuff.
Oh, my God. Okay, my number four is Dinner in America. You have to finish this film. It's such a chaotically beautiful film. and it starts off so weird, and you don't know what's going on. But the way things wrap up, it really ties the story together. Amazing film. If you do get a chance to watch it, watch it. That's my number four pick. Fuck.
Yeah, my top three feels very fluid right now because I'm still making up my mind.
Mine is literally got numbers assigned to them, but I'm still not sure.
I don't have numbers assigned, but I have them in the order, I think.
Okay.
But I'm changing it. Okay. Fuck it. Everything, everywhere, all at once.
Wow. That's crazy. That's crazy, bro.
It might change on a rewatch. I think it's the most original film that I've seen. Very long time.
I'll say this about this year. There were some really original films.
Very much so. Like pushing the envelope, coming up with creative ideas.
It's not very hard to push an envelope, though.
No, people think it's not.
Where does that saying come from?
She pressed the
cut. Pushing the envelope. Look at this. There we go.
I think it's to do with bribes.
I see.
That's how they get made.
Oh, that's how Vegas was built, baby. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, your number three.
I know.
Jody, you piece of donkey dong.
I know.
My number three is Marcel, The Shell with Shoes On. Total surprise for this film for the year. Feel good, heartbreaking, all the vibes.
Love
yeah,
it.
That's number three. It's locked in.
Number two.
Nitty gritty. No, it's fine. I think so. You got
breeze.
The door.
Hey, yo. yo. Number two.
Hit it.
Like the Sun.
Wow!
After Sun is my number two.
Shit.
The amount of emotion that this film generated for me was just like crazy.
You feel like you shouldn't be watching
this. Yes, it feels like you are. And that's what I love with the director did also. Like the stuff, the techniques she uses for like the fathers often in a mirror, often out of frame. So there's stuff where it's like, You're not seeing the full version of him.
Superbly made.
And this is the director's, it's her first like feature film. She's only done shorts.
She can't beat this.
Just hang it up now.
She can't. She won't be. This is her miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
There might be some recency bias because I saw this after Everything Everywhere. But like really, like no film has generated more emotion for me, and that's why this one's so high.
Okay. My number two pick for this year is Hit the Road. There's probably also recency bias, but
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's so good, man. Even though I don't know these actors at all and they're not even speaking English, it doesn't like matter. You know this family is like trying to make the best of a situation and it's stunningly shot. It's perfectly acted. I actually want to start looking into Iranian films now because this director, so his father is also a director.
Yeah.
And he's made films in the past where he had to go to prison, but then he started questioning why they arrested other directors, and then the regime locked him up. So his father's currently locked up. He had to write a dummy script
to get the film made.
Yes, in order to get the film made, and like lie about the ending and whatever, whatever. And under those circumstances, for you to make this film, it's something to behold.
My number one, the complete opposite of your number two. It's the most commercial movie that came out this
America!
Year,
honestly,
I
look at Jenna's face. She's like, what is he going to say?
I can't find fault with a movie that I've seen three times at the cinema. That as soon as it came out on streaming, I bought this movie on Google Play so that Jenna could watch it the night that it came out.
That's crazy.
My number one movie for this year is Top Gun Maverick.
Wow.
It brought back my love of going to the cinema.
You put everything everywhere.
Yeah, at three.
Yes.
Can you just tell us what's the most important thing that you appreciated about this movie?
About Top Gun?
Scientology.
Tom Cruise thanked me personally.
Three times. You said
I went to the cinema.
How special is that? How special is that?
No one else. None of these people here.
Yeah.
The Rock, who's apparently running for president.
No, fuck that guy.
Michelle Yeoh.
Thank you.
Career comeback, whatever.
What?
Did any of them thank me personally?
No. You
Tom
left
Cruise,
with a Scientology pamphlet?
Tom Cruise. Thank me. No, honestly, this movie, it's nostalgia done,
amazing.
Right?
It's really
amazing action sequences. The music, it's the score that I've listened to the most. It's cinema. This movie is cinema.
Yeah, it is. He sets out to do this every single time he makes a movie.
And he does it. Yeah. Like, there are very few movie stars left. Like, proper stars.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise still somehow manages to keep that idea of a Hollywood superstar.
Yeah.
And live it out. Tom Cruise be Tom Cruising, man.
Thetans, baby. look, no matter how I feel, I can't deny your reasoning for making that number one. It deserves a number one spot somewhere.
Yeah.
On that note, my number one, and this has been a debate. Some movies have come for the top spot.
Yeah.
None of them have beat it. Defending champion, Everything Everywhere All at Once. It is just my perfect film for 2022.
And the Daniels are getting Oscar buzz. It looks like they will be nominated. They
won't win, though.
I don't know.
I don't think they'll win.
Actually, Steven Spielberg's going to get it for The Fableman.
If he does, then...
He's going to get it, I'm telling you now.
I don't think Daniels will win, but they definitely deserve to. I think it's too out there, maybe, for the Academy.
Maybe.
But that's what makes this movie so special for me. It's the weirdest, most bombastic way to tell such a simple story.
Yeah.
Of family and connection.
I still don't know how you storyboard what they've put to film.
Ah, drugs.
Like, but who's writing? Who's actually doing
They're writing on drugs. You can still write on drugs, Jody. Depends on the drug, Jody. The idea is Vienna fingers. Flipping the trigger to get the different skills, all those things.
Who else could conceive of a scene where two rocks make you cry?
The dead silence also when it switches to that scene. Yeah. Oh, come on. That might be my favorite scene actually now thinking about it. Deserves my top spot. Everything Everywhere All at Once. If you haven't seen it, go and watch it. If you haven't seen Top Gun, you're going to get another chance. It's probably going to be re-released in IMAX.
I'll be back.
Jody went commercial. Mm-hmm. I went with the correct choice. No,
we have to be represented.
I'm joking.
And you and I can't have the same favorite.
Yeah, we can't. Not again this year. But I love the format of this. I love the way we did this.
This works.
It works. What does the crowd think? They agree. The crowd agrees.
The crowd goes wild.
I just want to thank everyone for attending.
Mm-hmm. I want to thank you for putting on
a suit. What a wonderful night.
Oh, some of the crowds falling asleep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been a long night.
It's been a tough day.
Yeah. So thank you very much. Yo, Jody, what a year. What a year for movies. What a year for talking about movies.
Yo, Ross, we made it through.
We did it.
It's been rough. There's work has come up. Life has opened up again. But somehow we still got these episodes out.
Got the episodes out somewhat consistently.
Yeah.
And
for the most part.
Oh, wait. Thank you. Thank you to the Brasa for listening. Mm. We want to personally thank you, just like Tom Cruise did.
Yes. This is us doing our Tom Cruise bit. Thank you.
Thank you.
For downloading this episode.
And right, don't forget to smash that like button.
Smash that like button. Smash that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, rate and review us as well.
Yes, please.
Good reviews though. Yes. Not bad ones.
Don't be snarky. If you don't like us, don't rate us. That's it. You don't have to do it.
We don't make this content for you if you don't like it.
We do it for ourselves.
Fair enough.
On the public platform.
Some people just happen to like it. But thanks a lot, Jody. Yo, it's been a fun ride.
Thank you, Ross.
We'll see what happens next year.
Yeah.
In terms of cinema. There's some good things lined up.
Some good things
lined up. I'm excited.
We will have to do another one of those what's happening in 2023 episodes.
We will. And there's also some movies that I need to catch up on before next year.
You and me both.
So maybe we'll do that too.
Well, we've got a few days until next year.
But yo, have a lovely Merry New Year. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You don't drink, so you're not going to party.
I'm going to get turned on New Year's.
Turned what? What does that mean?
Turned to sleep. I'm going to turn from the left side to the right side.
You can't drink as well. You're breastfeeding.
Oh, that doesn't stop her.
Okay. I don't know how this works.
It knocks the baby out.
Ah. So you...
the show that I know Ross is going
to
keep.
No, I think... Don't you just sprinkle some sherry on the nipple?
On the thumb. On the finger.
The finger?
On the forefinger. Get it in the gums. Like a deep... I don't know.
That explains a lot, actually.
Nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong with me.
Little bit of fetal alcohol.
Just a touch. Enough to get you to sleep.
Anyway, if you don't agree with our picks for this year, fuck you.
Nah,
it's subjective. So just whatever. I hope you just watched films. Watch films and enjoy films. Yes. That's all we can ask
for. And keep recommending stuff that we should watch and review, and we will try our best to maybe get there.
Oh, yeah. So if they wanted to tell us how cuck up list was, Jody, how would they do that?
They can go to Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube, Bicycle Brasa Podcast, and you can write to us, bicyclebrasa@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah. And stay safe out there. Don't get caught by the cops. That's a bliff.
Don't drink and drive. Arrive alive.
Mm-hmm. Drink, jive.
Yeah.
This episode brought to you by Jive. No, it's not. I
put it out there.
We're working on it.
Put it out there.
Stay safe, everyone. Save Jody.
Save Ross.
Oh, shit. I'm supposed to play us out.
Keep it a gookie.
Keep it a gookie. I don't ever play out, but we'll fuck it. We'll do it live.
We'll fix it in post.